If you have your Bibles, go with me this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is a famous passage of Scripture and one of my personal favorite passages of Scripture. I know it sure is for many of you a favorite passage of Scripture. We're not going to examine the passage as a whole this morning. We're going to look really at the first part of it. It's a famous story, and then the next time that I have the opportunity to preach, we'll really dive in deep to the story of David versus Goliath itself. But just in case you're unfamiliar with the story, I'd like to go ahead and give you the setting this morning, and then we'll look at a few practical truths from this passage. The children of Israel have sent all of their troops to battle against the Philistines. They've met in a place called the Valley of Elah. On one mountainside stands the Philistines, and on the other, the children of Israel are encamped. And each day for the last 40 days, a giant of a man named Goliath has come down into the Valley of Elah with a proposition. He's told the children of Israel, "Send me a man that may fight against me." The proposition is very simple. He's supposing a man versus man fight. And whoever is the victor of this man versus man fight, whichever nation has the victor, will be the side that wins the battle. If Goliath wins the battle, then the Philistines will win. If the representative from the children of Israel win the battle, then the children of Israel will win. Well, for 40 days, this loudmouth giant has been coming into the valley, making this proposition, and every single one of the children of Israel have been too scared to do a thing about it. The Bible says, as a matter of fact, that when he comes down to the valley, they flee. They're in such terror of the man. That all changes after 40 days because there's a young man by the name of David who's been sent by his father Jesse on a special errand. He comes and hears this giant blaspheming God and challenging the men of Israel, and he cannot believe that someone has not stood up and someone has not spoken up to fight against this man. He goes to Saul and says, "Saul, if no one else will fight, I'll sure be glad to do it." Saul tries to put him in his armor, and David says, "I've not proved this. I can't go to war in your armor." David goes down to meet the giant. He stops by the way of a brook and picks up 5 smooth stones. As he walks up to the giant, Goliath says to him, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" The visual contrast between the two men could not be more striking. You have a giant that stands well over 9 foot tall, almost as wide as he is big. And some people say a 13-year-old boy who's gone to battle against him. He can't be older than 17 years old. David is somewhere between 13 to 17 years old when he stands to face the giant Goliath. The interesting thing to me about this story is that the trash talking takes longer than the actual battle does. And Goliath says, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" He says, "I'm going to have you as bird food, young man. I'm going to whip you and whip you good." And David says, "That's not at all what's going to happen. The birds are going to eat your flesh. I'm going to take your ugly, ugly old head off of your body. And all the world is going to know that there is a God in Israel." David goes running towards the giant. He slings one of those stones, hit him square between the eyes. The giant falls down dead. David runs up, grabs Goliath's sword because he doesn't have one of his own, takes his ugly old head off of his body, and the children of Israel get the victory. Look at 17 verse 50. This is a great little summary verse. "So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David." This was perhaps one of the biggest upset stories of all times. It was certainly an unexpected victory. Goliath was a giant, David just a boy. But nevertheless, I love what verse 50 says, David prevailed. And ever since that day in the Valley of Elah, people have been talking about overcoming giants. And people of all ages and all stages have looked to this story as inspiration. And it certainly is a wonderful thing that David is able to defeat this 9 foot tall man. And a lot of people have used this passage to talk about the fact that there are big giants that come into our lives, and with God's help, we can prevail over them. But I want to spend a few moments this morning spending some time thinking about the moments that led up to David's battle against Goliath. And I owe my pastor from college for this particular line of thought. Before David ever stood in the Valley of Elah, toe-to-toe with Goliath, and won a battle that all the world would talk about, there were some little giants he had to defeat first. He would have never gotten to Goliath if he had not dealt with some very little things in his own life. So I want to spend just a few moments this morning speaking to you on the subject of David and his little giants. David and his little giants. Look at verses 15 and 16. Here's where it really all began for David. But David went and returned from Saul to feed the father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. The Bible is giving us a contrasting scene. Do you see the picture here? And one of the reasons I love this story is that you kind of go back and forth. For a little while, you read about what's happening in the Valley of Elah. And then the narration will switch in to read about what's going on in the life of David. There could not be two more contrasting stories, more contrasting scenes than the thought of David very carefully and quietly taking care of sheep when maybe 15 or 20 miles away, two giant armies are gathered in the Valley of Elah. So see the picture. I want us to notice a few little giants that David had to slay before he got to Goliath. Number one, notice this, the giant of submission to authority. The giant of submission to authority. Look at verse 16. Or let's look at verse 17. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run up to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now this is a strange request, isn't it? David has been watching the sheep, being a shepherd. He's now returned from his internship at the palace to go back to his father's house. All of his older brethren are off at battle. And dad comes to him and says, you know, son, they've been in the valley for a long time. They've been at war for a long time, and I'm worried my boys aren't eating like they should. Here's what I want you to do, David. I want you to get together some bread and get together some flour and then get some cheese for the commander, and you take it down and you make sure everybody's well fed. Now, I got to tell you something, folks. David probably in his flesh was not too happy with that request, all right? Here he is. He's been the pesky little brother all his life. And he's probably thinking, come on, Dad. You want me to be the water boy? You want me to come and take my brother some food? You want me to be a delivery boy? I can't believe that. I think there's probably a lot in David's flesh that didn't really like this request from his father. David decided that whether his father had given him something pleasant or unpleasant to do, something that he enjoyed doing or something that he really didn't want to do, he was going to submit to his authority. Now that sounds like a very strange subject to bring up in a crowd like this. I'm not talking to children. I'm not talking to teenagers. But I'm going to tell you something. Even in my adult life, I have found submission to authority to be one of the most important things I can do to ensure that God's blessing is upon my life. You know, I love what Moses said in the Ten Commandments as God has inspired him. He said that we were to honor our father and our mother, that our days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God liveth thee. Ephesians 6 verse 1 says, children, honor your children, obey your mother, your father and mother in the Lord, for this is right. It's the first commandment with promise. Now why is it, do you think, that honoring your father and your mother is the first commandment with promise? You ever thought about that? Why did God attach a promise to this particular commandment? Here's why I believe. Because this is the first real command that we struggle to obey in our lives. It's the first real battleground Satan brings to us. And the decision, even as young children, on whether we're going to submit to authority or whether we're not going to, is going to set a pattern in place for our lives that will determine whether God can bless our lives in a great way or whether he can't. Now, probably none of us in this room, or maybe just a few of us in this room, are still in the place where we have to honor and obey our mother and our father. Let me ask you a question. Do you still have authority in your life? I think most of us do. Most of us have employers. Most of us have people we look to for wisdom and for guidance. Certainly we all have spiritual authorities that God has put into our lives, like His Word and even pastoral leadership. A submission to authority is something we never outgrow in life. And I'm convinced that if David had a bad attitude with his dad, I'm convinced that if he had blown his dad off and said, "You know, Dad, I really don't want to do that. Why don't you send one of the servants to be the delivery boy?" that he never would have gotten to the Valley of Elah and he never would have faced Goliath. So before he got to the big giant, he had to deal with a little giant, the giant of submission to authority. There's another one that I see, not only the giant of submission to authority, but look at verse 20. "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle." See what it says there at the beginning of verse 20? David rose up early in the morning. I think he had learned to defeat the little giant of self-discipline. How many of you know teenage boys that like to get up early in the morning? I was a youth pastor for 8 or 9 years, and I never met one teenage boy that wanted to rise up early in the morning. How many of you ever had a teenager that wanted to get up early in the morning? Probably not many of you. There's one. That's incredible. It really is. We need to learn the secret, okay? I'd like to learn that before Will and Anna get to be teenagers. That'd be great. David had defeated the little giant of self-discipline. Now, what is self-discipline? Don't miss this. Self-discipline doesn't mean forcing yourself to do something that you hate. A lot of people get that idea. Self-discipline simply means yielding your life moment by moment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's what self-discipline is. Yielding your life moment by moment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I think this statement tells us a lot about David. You see, God had an appointment for him. Did you catch the timing? Every morning and every evening, Goliath would come and make his challenge. There's a time element involved here. And if David did not rise early in the morning, he would not have gotten to the battlefield at the proper moment to hear Goliath's challenge. And I believe one of the reasons that God knew he could bless David's life was that he knew David had a habit of rising up early in the morning. He was a self-disciplined person who yielded his life moment by moment to the Lord. I think this getting up early in the morning wasn't just a one-time thing for David. You read over and over again in the Psalms where he cries out, "Early will I seek thee." I think David was already by this time in his life in the habit of getting up early and spending time with the Lord before the day ever started. I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe that David naturally had just a lot more courage than those trained soldiers who were in the battlefield who wouldn't fight Goliath. I don't believe that at all. You know what I believe? I believe that for 40 days and 40 nights, those men who wouldn't fight had been listening to the voice of the enemy every morning and every evening. When in a shepherd's field 15 or 20 miles away, there was a young man who had been listening every morning and every evening to the voice of God. Can I tell you something, folks? There are always two competing voices in our lives. Two voices that compete for our attention every single day. The voice of God and the voice of this world. And I believe that the people God greatly blesses are the people who will discipline their flesh, bring their lives under the Lordship of Jesus Christ to hear the voice of God instead of listening to the voice of this world. Listen, listening to the voice of the enemy, listening to the voice of the world, that's easy. Everybody does that. But making an appointment with God every single day and never missing it, even on days you don't want to and even on days you don't feel like it, and yielding even those moments to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Oh, that's a habit, friend, a holy habit that God can bless. David rose up early in the morning. And if he hadn't, he would have never heard the giant. And if he'd never heard the giant, he would have never won the victory. So he had to slay little giant. Not only did he defeat the giant of submission to authority, the giant of self-discipline, David had to defeat the giant of discouragement. The giant of discouragement. In this story, David meets three different discouragers. How many of you have ever been fired up to do something for the Lord and somebody's come along and discouraged you? Listen, it happens all the time, doesn't it? And you got to learn what you're going to do with that discouragement. I think the first group of people that really discouraged David were the indifferent people. The indifferent people. David got to the battlefield. He heard Goliath blaspheming God. He heard Goliath challenging the men of Israel, and he couldn't believe that nobody had stood up and spoken up for the Lord. He starts asking, why hasn't anyone gone to fight? Why are you letting this uncircumcised Philistine talk this way? He can't believe how indifferent these people are. You know, the very people that should have been fired up, the very people that should have been stirred to action, not on the 40th day, but on the first day, were the soldiers of the kingdom of Israel, right? Shouldn't the king of Israel have been the man with his armor and his sword that went toe-to-toe with Goliath? Certainly so. And I'm going to tell you, if David got to the battlefield and decided he was just going to go with the flow, blend in with the crowd, and he let the indifference and the apathy of people who should have been doing something but were not doing something, he would have never fought Goliath. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Indifference and apathy is a giant we fight every single day of our lives. I'm going to tell you something. There are some things that ought to stir us up. There are some things that ought to keep us stirred up. And let's be honest, not a lot of people in this world are stirred up about what's going on. But God's people should be. We should be. So David had to defeat the discouraging giant of indifference. Not only did he have to defeat indifference, he had to defeat criticism. Look at this exchange that happens between David and his brother Eliab. Look at verse 28. And Eliab, his, what does that word say? Eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And that word paints a picture, doesn't it? I mean, his face got red. That vein on the side of his neck was bulging. He was, as we would say in West Texas, spitting mad. His anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? Can't you just hear the derogatory nature of the criticism in Eliab's voice? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. You like being called naughty? I don't think David did either. And the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mayest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Now listen, folks. How many of you have ever had an older brother? I'm the oldest brother, so I don't know exactly what David's going through, but some of you have an older brother. We read a few chapters ago that Eliab was a big, strapping, strong kind of guy. David was the youngest of many. I have no doubt that David looked up to Eliab as the greatest hero in his life. Don't you think that was true? The big, strong, oldest brother who was going to inherit the blessing from dad. The big, strong, oldest brother who had gone off to war against the Philistines. I mean, I think David really thought a lot of Eliab, don't you? I think that's why these words must have been incredibly stinging to David. It's one thing for you to get stirred up about doing something for the Lord and for someone else to criticize you. It's another thing when your family criticizes you. I think we can all admit this morning, there's no hurt like family hurt, right? David had to deal with that before he ever got to Goliath. You ever had a heartbreak from a family member? We all have. We know that's some of the most traumatic pain that a person can ever endure. And there's David, just a boy on the battlefield. He hadn't even gotten to Goliath yet. And his oldest brother's broken his heart. You know, if David doesn't have Eliab behind him, who does he have behind him? Well, no one. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes in our lives, God removes every other person even the people that we love, so that we'll learn to depend upon Him. Listen, David didn't have a lion, but he had God. If you're ever going to do something great for God, you're going to have to overcome criticism in your life. You know what a critic is, don't you? It's a nobody going nowhere trying to slow down a somebody going somewhere. David was going somewhere, and he had to overcome the criticism of his brother. So I think he was probably discouraged by indifference. He could have been discouraged by critical people, but then there was a pessimistic person he was going to meet. Look at verse 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And I'm sure David was feeling, or Saul was feeling all inspired, don't you? Here's a young boy who said he's going to go fight against a 9-foot-tall giant. Saul's reaction was probably honestly like most of our reactions would have been. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." Now again, this isn't the first time David and Saul have been around each other. David's already served an internship at the palace. They're familiar one with another. I'm sure that David looked up to Eliab, but I'm definitely sure he looked up to Saul. And these words hurt too. You ever wanted to do something for the Lord and someone said to you, "You can't do that"? I remember when the Lord called me to preach, there's never been a more unlikely preacher than the guy you're looking at. I want you to know that. I surrendered to preaching between the 7th and 8th grade at a Christian camp. I came home that next Sunday and told my preacher and told the people. My pastor had me come stand up front after the service in that small church, and they came by to shake my hand. And not just one, but two or three of those old ladies looked me in the eye and said something like this: "You'll never make much of a preacher, or you'll grow out of it." I'm not kidding. The very first day I shared with people that God had called me to preach. Can you believe that? I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you ever decide to step out by faith in your life, somebody's going to think it's crazy. Someone's going to think you're not able. And by the way, you're not able. David knew if it was just an exercise of the flesh, he could not defeat Goliath, but he had God on his side. And listen to me, so do you. You can't, but you can through Christ who gives you strength. You're going to have to overcome pessimism. Oh, listen to me, folks. Christians are not pessimistic people. We're hopeful people. David had to overcome that. There's one more giant David had to defeat. He had to defeat the giant of submission to authority, had to defeat the giant of discouragement and self-discipline. He also had to defeat the giant of glory. And this is the real heartbeat of the passage, and it's what we'll return to the next time we teach from 1 Samuel 17. Look at verse 46. He's talking trash to Goliath, and he says, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." This is the last little giant David has to slay before he fights the big giant. And here's what he said: "I'm not going to do it. God's going to do it." And at the end of the day, it's not going to be about David. It's going to be about him. Can I tell you something? This is a spiritual secret that I have seen play out in the lives of God's servants for a long time. Study history and you'll discover it. God longs to give the victory to people that he knows will give the credit back to him. You want to motivate God? Then start praying for his glory. Start praying for his kingdom to come. Start praying for his will to be done. Take yourself out of the way and say, "God, I'm asking for the victory, not for my sake, but for your sake." David didn't care if all the world knew who David was, but he really did care that all the world knew who God was. And it was God's name that had been blasphemed by that giant. David just knew God was going to do something to stand up for his own name. And he still will. God longs to work in the lives of people that he knows will give the credit back to him. And so listen, we all like to talk about Goliath, don't we? We all like to hope that on those big battles in our life, we'll have the victory. You're never going to get the victory over the big battles until you get the victory in the small ones. Learn on a daily basis to defeat the little giants. And then you can have the confidence when you stand toe-to-toe with Goliath that God will give the victory there too. Let's pray together, may we? Father, thank you for this passage, and we've just touched the hem of the garment this morning. Each and every day, all of us are fighting these little giants. Whether we'll submit to our God-ordained authority, whether we'll be discouraged by pessimistic, negative, critical people, whether we'll self-discipline ourselves to get up and meet with you, and whether we're living for our glory or for yours. Lord, help us for the next 7 days of our lives to get victory over these little giants, and then we can know that your grace and strength will be with us when we face our Goliath. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And God bless you. You're dismissed.